All right, wonderful. Thank you, Trio. And if you're new to Christianity, if you don't know what that song's talking about, there is going to be a wedding one day. It's called the Wedding of the Church with Jesus Christ, the Marriage of the Lamb. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. So some of you singles, you have hope. There will be a wedding someday, so don't be discouraged. You just may be getting married to Jesus. By the way, I've seen some of your list. You may have to marry Jesus before somebody meets that criteria. Come on, lighten up now. It's Mother's Day. All right? let's have a good time tonight. What do you say? Take your Bible, Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3, and 2 Peter 1. Y'all got enough fingers and toes to find all of that? Matthew chapter number 7. Now, while you're turning there and trying to find all of these places, let me just go ahead and kind of give you some background of what I want to preach about tonight. As you know, on Sunday nights, we're focusing in on our theme for To Me To Live, Paul said, is Christ and to die is gain. And the Sunday messages have been along that line about to live is Christ. And we've learned a lot of things so far this year about not just what Jesus expects, but what He is and what His desires are. And so we're going to look at some things here tonight. But I want to say this before we read Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. You have to go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to get the whole body of work of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I want to say something about the Sermon on the Mount. I love it because Jesus just gets up there and He just preaches on everything. I mean, He just starts from one end of the spectrum and goes all the way to the other and says, there He is. There's Christianity right there. Now listen, the thing about it is, I want you to notice what was said about this, because I want you to, the point I want to make tonight is this. Sometimes we get to the point to where we think Christianity is a buffet. And we can take certain parts that we like, and we can turn aside parts that we don't like. And yet, Jesus spoke on almost every aspect and every gamut that's included in the Christian life in three chapters, and here's what was said. Let's stand together, Matthew 7 and verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings. Now, folks, listen, you got to go back and read all of it to understand, because everything is included in these sayings. The scripture says the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, listen to me, folks, He wasn't kidding. When He preached this, He was not teasing. All right, He wasn't leading us on. He wasn't baiting us into anything. He said, this is truth. And when people heard it, they were astonished, the scripture said. Now listen now, at His doctrine, which included the entire body of work. Not just one aspect, the whole body of work. All right? 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse number 13. I tell you what, go to verse 12. Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. He said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, how many of you is at some point in your life has had someone say, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. We need to give attention. We need to focus. Listen, we need to make sure that doctrine is the main thing. It's the foundation. Jesus preached it. He taught it. He exemplified it. And He emphasized it for 3.5 years. So it's important. And Paul says, Timothy, give attention to doctrine. All right, are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We have to include this verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Stop. He didn't say 50% of Scripture. He didn't say 75% of Scripture. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Y'all reckon God wants us to live a righteous life? You reckon God would desire us as a believer to find out how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to present our body as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice before Him and before the world as a testimony? He said the only way you're going to find that, you've got to know what doctrine is. You have to know what the truth is. Now, go if you would to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You say, what's that? You got it in your hand. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. In other words, everything contained in that body of doctrine you have in your hand, not everybody's going to like it. Oh, by the way, not everybody's going to accept it, and not everybody's going to practice it. He said, but it does not negate the fact that it's still the guideline. It does not negate the fact that it's still doctrine. He said, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Doctrine is Christ. Doctrine is Christ. And before, listen now, before we go too far, when we get into this now, it's going to require a spiritual seatbelt because it's going to be tough. Because Jesus got tough, man, when he started talking about doctrine and how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to act and what is desirable to him and what is not desirable to him. The Father, meet with us now in the few moments that we have. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, teach us, guide us, and lead us, we ask. And we'll certainly be careful to give all the glory and give all the praise to thee in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church doctrine is defined as the body of principles in a system of belief. In other words, one section or one belief about an item does not mean that it contains the entire doctrine just because we believe in salvation by grace through faith. That is an element of our belief system. It's part of our doctrine. Now, it's not just what we believe. Listen now, doctrine is the details of what we believe. It's not just what, it's the details that are included in what we believe. You see, doctrine contains the ingredients of everything we believe. And now listen, folks, help me here now, because here's what's happening today in our independent Baptist churches. We think that the only thing that's doctrine is salvation by grace through faith, or that we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, all of those are part of our doctrine, but that's not all of our doctrine. That's only a portion of the doctrine that we believe. Now, listen carefully. Bible doctrine is three things. First of all, it's a conviction. Okay, Bible doctrine is a conviction. Conviction means absolutely persuaded. It means convinced in your spirit. Now listen, based on undeniable truth. That's what doctrine is. That's what conviction is. It's being absolutely persuaded. And can I say something to you tonight? I'm absolutely persuaded that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing, I'm absolutely persuaded that that is salvation. And anyone who puts their faith and trust in Him can, will, and will be saved. I'm convinced. You know what that is? That's a conviction. Doctrine is a conviction. It's being absolutely persuaded. Listen now, not interjecting your ideas, not interjecting, well, what if, or not interjecting my favorite term today. Well, preacher, that's just your interpretation. The scripture says that it is of no private interpretation. It's not my interpretation. It's what the Bible says. Hey, I'm just saying that Jesus, He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. He didn't play any games. Bible doctrine is conviction. Number two, it's a position. Bible doctrine is a position. In other words, it's a point and a place that we occupy. It's a stance. It's a place that we stand. And folks, listen to me. Doctrine, Bible doctrine is not just a conviction to me. It is a position to me. And it's not just any doctrine, my friend. It's Bible doctrine. It's Baptist doctrine. You say, preacher, be careful now. You're going to rub somebody the wrong way. Well, hey, I'm just telling you. That Bible doctrine, go check me out. That's the reason I'm a Baptist today. I didn't used to be one, but the reason I am today, because Baptist doctrine is the same doctrine laid out in Scripture that Jesus taught. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. It's the closest to the truth. So not only is doctrine a conviction, listen now, it's a position. Hey, listen, I'm not just Baptist by conviction. I'm Baptist by choice. But wait a minute, it's not just a conviction. Doctrine is a conviction, it's a position. Listen now, it's a profession. You know that usually what people believe, they speak about, they talk about. Can I say that as a believer, Bible doctrine is not only a conviction, it's being absolutely persuaded. It's not just a position, a point and place that you occupy, but it's a profession. It's a declaration outwardly and openly and verbally of what you say you believe according to the Bible. Now listen, not mixed with man-made doctrine now, but only the pure Word of God. You see, tonight, church, Bible doctrine plays a huge part in your success. If you do not know what you believe, you're going to have a very difficult time, first of all, living for Christ. Second of all, you're going to have a very difficult time pleasing Christ. And third of all, you're going to have a very difficult time yourself at being a happy, joyful believer. Because here's what you're going to do. You're going to live all of your life afraid that somebody's going to ask you something that you don't know. Hey, folks, just study the Bible, read the Bible, love the Bible, listen to the Bible, be at church where you can be under the preaching of the Bible, and listen, you'll find out that Bible doctrine will be convicting, it will become a position, but it'll also become a profession. It'll push you to tell other people what you believe. Now, Bible doctrine is intended to disciple our mind to the truth. Listen now, as well as our spiritual formation of our heart. Now, stop and let's think about this for just a minute. Jesus called out 12 disciples, and one of them was a devil. All right, now listen, the thing about it is, did he already know who Judas Iscariot was? Yes, he was. But did it deter his doctrine? Did he teach Judas doctrine? Did he teach Judas the truth? Did he love Judas? Yes! It didn't deter him from teaching the truth. And by the way, 3.5 years he tried to teach those knuckleheads. He did. And do you know that most of them didn't get it until after Jesus died? And then thought, okay, this is what he meant. Yeah, he's been telling you for 3.5 years. You see, he taught over and over and over doctrine. Why? He was discipling their mind and he was forming their heart to become spiritual, to become a follower of him. You see, doctrine, church, must be the core of our Christianity. It has to be the platform of the message that we present. Listen to me, a message without a sure foundation of evidence is nothing more than a fairy tale. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm not into fairy tales. I'm into truth. I'm into a message. I'm into doctrine. I'm into making sure that I communicate the truth of the Word of God. Now, we've got to think about this, church, because today, if Jesus put so much emphasis on it in his earthly ministry that he began teaching and preaching doctrine, then doctrine must be important. And doctrine is not a list of self-interpreted preferences. Amen. I think I just might park there just for a minute. Now listen to me, because some will point at us Baptists and say, well, that's just your preference. Well, how can it be my preference if God laid it down as truth in the Bible and it says it right there? It's not my preference, it's what the Bible says. You see, we get so warped into a mentality that, listen, that all we have to do in Christianity, we just pick and choose. Hey, listen, today I was at a buffet. And I get so tired of people making that analogy. Well, preacher, don't you understand? Christianity, it's like a buffet. No, it's not. You don't get to pick and choose what part of Christianity you want to practice and what part you don't. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Figure it out. God gets to make the rules here. He gets to lay the groundwork. You see, doctrine is not a list of self-interpreted preferences, but rather it's a divine commitment to truth. Now, here's what they call it today. They call it situational ethics today. That means that, hey, if it feels right to you, that's fine. If it's right to you, it's right to you. If it's wrong to him, it's wrong to him. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter because doctrine says it matters. You see, as a matter of fact, Jesus' doctrine established his convictions, it established his position, and it established his profession, and he spoke doctrine. And by the way, it wasn't the first time in Matthew 7 that people were astonished at his doctrine. Multiple times, people were astonished at what the Lord said. You see, his doctrine, listen now, was so narrow and so precise that when he spoke it more and more dogmatically, the scripture tells us that many of his followers turned away from him. John 6:66 says that when Jesus began to teach more and more truth, it says that they went back and walked no more with him. Now folks, listen to me. You look around this auditorium and say, where is everybody? Some of them walk no more with him. You know why? Because the doctrine's tough, man. But yet, the thing about it is, listen, the Baptists didn't establish the doctrine. Jesus established doctrine. We just accept it. We didn't lay down the groundwork. The Lord laid down the groundwork. We just said, amen. That's what we say. Listen, we didn't make this up. This is something we believe because it's in the scriptures. Now, listen very carefully. Doctrine is a body of belief that is consistent with each other. And neither does it contradict the integrity of its interwoven teachings. In other words, you cannot possibly believe one thing that's Bible doctrine that's going to contradict something else that's Bible doctrine. Because it is a body of belief. And God is not going to contradict himself. You see, church, Bible doctrine finds its origin in Scripture. Now, jot this down, and you can look this, and I wish I had time to give you some illustrations, but if I do, we'll never get finished with this tonight. But doctrine finds its origin in Scripture in several ways. First of all, it finds its origin by direct statement. You see, sometimes in the Bible, God is going to make a direct statement, such as, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's a direct statement. And so, listen, there's no question that we understand what he's talking about. Let me give you another scripture verse where God speaks directly. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Direct statement. No question. It was that direct statement right there that cut the light bulb over into my head and helped me to realize that salvation wasn't of works. It wasn't depend on me. It was depending on everything that Jesus did. And so you guess what? I stopped trying to hold on to him and I said, here, you hold on to me. So sometimes you find doctrine by direct statement. Number two, sometimes you find doctrine in the Bible by positive principles. Sometimes it's not going to be a direct statement. Here's what most people want. They say, well, I'm not going to believe it. If God doesn't say, thou shalt not, or it's okay to do this, well, then you know what? You're going to have to cut out about a third of your doctrine. Because about a third of our doctrine is not mentioned by direct statement in the Bible. It's given to us by positive principles. You say, like where? You got a whole book of Psalms full of them. You got a whole book called the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes full of principles. So sometimes doctrine is going to be given to us by direct statement, which is what everybody wishes God would say. Just tell us what we need to do. Hey, listen, moms and dads, you've heard me say this many times. Many of us want that, boy, I wish God, when my kid was born, would have an instruction manual tied to their big toe. Or these young couples, man, I wish God would have an instruction manual of all the things that we need to do and say and how we, before we get married. Well, what a lot of times they don't realize is he does. It's called the Bible. It's just that many times he does say direct statements about marriage, and then sometimes it's just by principle. So we've got to be wise enough to be able to dig it out and find it. And then the third thing I find in Scripture that doctrine finds its origin is not just direct statement or positive principles, but sometimes, listen now, it's proper illustrations. You say, like what? Okay, think about this. Remember in John 13 where Jesus gathered his disciples together and they were about to partake of the Last Supper before he went up? Remember he walked over and got a towel, flipped a towel on his arm and got a basin of water. And he took that basin of water and he went over. And you know what he began to do? He began to wash the disciples' filthy feet. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher, what's he doing there? He's teaching doctrine. You say, like what? He says, as you have seen me do unto you, go do otherwise. Go do what I just did. Serve. He taught by an illustration. He didn't say, now guys, listen, what I'm about to do here, I'm going to wash your feet, but this is an illustration about serving others. He didn't have to prep that. You know what? Because he was about to teach them by illustration. Jesus used illustrations many, many times. Now listen to me. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he used parables. Be careful now. You don't take solid doctrine from parables. But you do need to look at the principle, because many times Jesus would teach the principle, and that's where you root your doctrine, in the principle. So direct statement and positive principles, and then proper illustrations. But listen, these are working, living parts of the whole body of doctrine. Now, before we get into the meat of things, let me just mention something and go back to the very beginning where I talked about that Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 and Matthew 7, he taught some pretty strong doctrine. Let me tell you some of the things that he taught on. Oh, by the way, and when you get to Matthew 7, verse 28, 29, the scripture says, they were astonished at his doctrine. Did you notice it didn't say only what he taught about salvation? It didn't say only what he taught about this. They said the entire body of work was the doctrine. They didn't single out certain parts of it. Because in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, listen to me, he taught a lot about personal relationships. He taught a lot about personal relationships. And many times, listen, church, many times he taught about the personal relationship that we are to have with God. If you don't believe that, when you go back in Matthew chapter 5, go read all what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed, 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 blessed. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a relationship with him. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. My favorite one is verse 6. He said, blessed is the man that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. You know, we ought to be, listen, we ought not to be looking for ways to cut corners. We ought to be looking to get in wholeheartedly. Hey, folks, too many of God's people are looking for ways for shortcuts in Christianity. Man, thank God Jesus didn't take a shortcut to the cross. Hey, he fulfilled his entire obligation. So Jesus taught about personal relationships with him. Hey, listen, in Matthew 6, verse number 5, he taught about prayer. Matter of fact, not only just taught about prayer, but he says, when you pray. They said, oh, Lord, you're going to have to help us. What do you mean? He said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And listen, some of them were doing what many of you are doing right now. Wow. Hey, folks, can I say this? You know that prayer Jesus taught his disciples? You know, I pray the content of that every day. Because I figured if that's what he wants, that's what I'm going to give him. If he wants the content, then I'm going to pray the content. Why? Because he taught about a personal relationship with him through prayer. And then he talked about in Matthew 6 and verse number 33, listen now, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen, he did not say, seek your personal preferences first. He did not say, seek your desires, seek this. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know why? Because he said, a relationship with me is more important than anything in the world. So he taught about personal relationship with the Lord, but then he taught about personal relationship with others. Matthew 7, you'll find it there that he talked about proper and improper judging. He talked about forgiveness. He talked about multiple things about how we're to deal with other people. And yet, listen, the Bible says that's still doctrine. It's still part of our belief system. But also in his message, you know, not only did he preach about personal relationships, listen now, he preached about social testimony. Our social testimony. You said, what are you talking about? About how you're supposed to act outside these walls. And yet, did you know the Bible says that the scripture called it doctrine? It's the body of belief. It's the belief system that we hold to. And one of the first things, hey, listen, folks, listen. One of the first things Jesus hit was this. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. The first thing that Jesus nailed after he talked about personal relationship was social testimony. And he says you're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One of the first things he hit was being a soul winner, was being a witness, to being a light of the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them the message of the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Hey, listen, he said, you have a purpose, there's a plan, I've got the power, get with the program. He talked about social testimony. Matthew 5, a little bit later, he talked about being a second mile Christian. Oh boy, I knew you was going somewhere with this. Wait a minute now. Did you know that according to Matthew 7, verse 28, it's still called doctrine? We're talking about doctrine here, folks. You see, some think, well, that's Old Testament. That's prior to the burial, the death of Christ in the burial. That's on the Old Testament. Jesus said, old things are passed away. Where did you get that from? You didn't get that from the Bible. Jesus said, this is the truth. This is the way. This is how we're supposed to live. And he talked about our social testimony, being a soul winner, being a second mile Christian. Oh boy, he even went further. He even talked about loving our enemies. Yeah, he talked about not being vindictive one to another, including the people that intentionally hurt you. Because I know what you want to do. You want to go cut their tires. You want to go bust their windshield out. Hey, you want to do something because you know what? How dare them? They can't teach. Listen, Jesus said, no. How we treat it, it's doctrine. Loving our enemies. He talked about being benevolent, giving alms. He talked about a number of things. Oh, and then finally, in Matthew 6, verse 24, about our social testimony, he said, no man can serve two masters. Man. Hey, you know what, Brother Garman? I think I understand now, after he got finished teaching, why nobody followed him. Why there was only a small group and some walked with him no more. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. It can get tough when you start looking real deep into what Jesus expects of us as a church and as a Christian. Hey, as a father, as a mother, as a young person. Hey, when you start looking at the actual doctrines of the Bible, that's why the house of God's not full. Because some people can't handle it. They can't handle the social part of the doctrine. But then, hang on here now. Then you begin to talk about moral obligations. Talked about anger, retaliation. Oh, by the way, he talked about immorality. He addressed adultery, fornication. And he nailed it down so tight that he said, you have heard it, that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if a man look upon a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery in his heart. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. That's tough. But you know what? Listen to me. That's doctrine. That's doctrine. Because we find later that, hey, listen, there are three elements that dwell, that cause us to be pulled into sin. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Jesus taught about moral obligations. He talked about immorality. He talked about marriage. He talked about a number of things. And then he also included eternal principles like salvation in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Remember, he talked about how narrow the way is that leads to eternal life. He talked about laying up treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:19. Oh, by the way, he also talked about how to identify false prophets. He said, by their fruit, that's how you'll know who they are. All you got to do is listen to what they say. He said, if it doesn't match up here, false teachers. False doctrine. So he talked about all of these things. And then at the end, in Matthew 7 and verse 24, he said, if a man hears my words and doeth them, he said, I liken him to a man that built his house upon a rock. Now, folks, listen, doctrine is not just what we believe, it's what we It's what we portray. It's what we profess. It's where we stand. It's what our conviction is. That is what doctrine is. You see, church, God just used other writers in the New Testament to expound upon the points of doctrine that Jesus had already made. The Apostle Paul did it. And so did many, many others in the New Testament. Now, let me mention a couple of other things. I'm going to have you jot some things down. Doctrine incorporates a number of different things. But many people think doctrine, as far as the whole body of belief, that doctrine is only includes what we believe about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, what we believe about Satan, what we believe about the Scriptures, what we believe about sin and salvation and eternal security, heaven and hell, church, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and I could go on and on and on. But listen to me, that isn't all that Jesus preached and taught on. And it was called doctrine. It was called doctrine, a system of belief. Remember what I said earlier? Listen, doctrine is not self-interpreted preferences. It's truth. What did Jesus teach? That's what we need to abide by. Now listen, doctrine also incorporates our beliefs on separation. Not just ecclesiastical separation. Which means that, you know what, folks? How can two walk together except they be agreed? You ever heard people say, well, I'm telling you, I'm just not on the same page. Well, I know if you're teaching another doctrine, you'll never be on the same page with me. And you'll never be on the same page with Jesus either. You see, there's separation involved in our doctrine, which we're to separate from the world. The Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Baptists. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the preacher. Come on, help me out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know what that is? That's doctrine, folks. It's doctrine. He says that believers ought to be separated. The church ought to be separated. There ought to be ecclesiastical separation. Listen, and there ought to be personal separation. So doctrine incorporates beliefs on separating from the world. Listen, we may be in the world, my friend, but we are not of the world. There needs to be separation. That's included in the doctrine. That's included in the statement of our faith. But not only does doctrine include separation, it includes chaste conduct. And just hold on here just a minute. Okay? The Scripture teaches chastity. The Scripture teaches that morality, that sexual activity is only to take place between a man and a woman married under the institution of God. Not outside marriage. You say, well, what if two people are living together and they're common law? They know such thing as common law marriage. You say, well, the state says it. But did God say it? Now, you're going to listen to the state of Texas, you're going to listen to God. Come on, help me out. Now, I told you, now you understand why some of them walk with Jesus no more? Because, man, he laid it on the line. Well, I don't believe that. That's just your preference. That's just Jesus. That's just your interpretation. See you, man. They didn't realize it was talking face to face with God. And guess what? It was his inspired word. You see, doctrine is chaste conduct. It's morality. Jesus spoke against adultery. He spoke against fornication. Hey, listen, this book in my hand right here teaches that morality, pornography, it teaches that homosexuality, incest are all sin with a capital S. So I don't believe that. Then tear it out of your Bible. Everything you don't believe, just tear it out of your Bible. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, folks, when Jesus taught on this, they got down to the end, they said they were astonished at his, come on, help me out, at his what? At his entire body of belief. At his entire body of teaching. Say, preacher, you're going to get thrown in jail like this one. Well, that's fine. We got a jail ministry. You come see me. I'm going to tell you something else. We're pro-life. Yeah. Yeah, we're pro-life. We believe that the only person that has control of life is God, not man. And all this hogwash, well, a woman has right over her body. No, it don't. God does. God created them. God has control. Man doesn't have the right to dictate when life begins and when life ends. Hey, I'm just saying, the whole body of separation and chaste conduct. Oh boy, Jesus also taught about holiness. Yeah. Holiness. Well, you want me to tell you how tough it got. Remember I told you that Jesus started the doctrine and he allowed men to elaborate on that doctrine? I want you to listen to this, what the Apostle Paul said. Jesus taught separation. Jesus taught holiness and sacrifice in his messages and in his 3.5-year ministry. And then the Apostle Paul abounded on it. He began to elaborate on it. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wait, hang on just a minute. That almost looks like that says holy. Let me clean these glasses off. Well, I'll be dog, it does. It says, holy, acceptable unto the Baptists, unto the preacher. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Holiness is part of doctrine. Separation is part of doctrine. Chaste conduct is part of doctrine. Consecration is part of doctrine. Hey, church, listen to me. You cannot separate the body of doctrine into categories listed high priority, medium priority, low priority. You can't. It's all high priority to God. This is why doctrine has to be preached, taught, applied, demonstrated, and practiced. Take your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Isn't this good? Man, I don't know if you're having a good time. I'm having a good time, but listen to me. The reason I can stand here and have a good time is because I'm just preaching, listen, what I believe. You say, well, I thought you said this was God's doctrine. I know, I just believe God's doctrine. I just believe He got to make the rules, and I just need to follow the rules and follow the guidelines. Are you there? 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And he says your preaching needs to be backed by the truth. Not, listen, not self-interpreted preferences. The truth. For the time will come when they, listen, he's telling Timothy, people who once believed this, there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. And listen, there will come a day when people will rise up, and he's not talking about outside the church, he's talking about inside the church, that will rise up and say, I don't believe that. That's just your interpretation. That's just a preference. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where that's in the Word of God. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like I want, dress like I want, listen to what I want, go to where I want, and you don't have anything. Okay, fine. But it's not my job to tell you that. It's God's job to instruct that I'm just speaking what He said. Hey, you can't take doctrine and deem it high, medium, and low priority. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm tired of hearing that we need to get off of focusing on the things that will not mean anything in eternity and focus on doctrine. I am focusing on doctrine. Separation is part of my doctrine. Chaste conduct, holiness, consecration, and everything else is part of my doctrine. You say, what are they saying, preacher? I'll tell you what they're saying. They're saying, let's stop putting so much emphasis on the morality and social part of our doctrine, and let's just only emphasize the foundational principles of our doctrine. But folks, you can't do that. You can't separate them one from the other. You can't deem them high, medium, and low priority. You see, let's just focus, they say, on getting people saved, preacher. Listen, I heard it with my own ears just a few days ago. It doesn't matter how you do it, just do it. Well, isn't that amazing? We serve a God of order, do we not? All right, He's very particular on how He wants to be worshipped. All right, if He's very particular on how He wants to be worshipped, do you think He's going to break chain? Do you think He's going to break consistency and say, listen, just go after people. I don't care how you look, what you say, just go after them, try to get them saved. Bring in whatever you want to the church. It doesn't matter. Turn the house of God a holy place. Just turn it into an amphitheater. Let anybody come in. Oh, by the way, we're just trying to reach people for Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you something that's going to be hard for some of you to swallow. People will die and go to hell before God changes that book right there. He's not going to change His way. You say, but it's 2013. Oh, God didn't know we were going to be in 2013. Yeah, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Micah 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hey, what's doctrine is doctrine. He's not going to change. Listen, Bible doctrine is not, again, it's not a buffet. We can't pick and choose what we want. Now listen. Just as the Apostle Paul, you can read this for yourself. But when you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, remember, he addressed the Corinthian church about their bickering with one another as members of the church. And remember, his emphasis was that there is one body made up of many members. And remember, he used the illustration. He says one part or one member of that body can't say to another, you're not important. Oh, by the way, neither can we say when we look at the entire body of doctrine to say, well, separation's not important as salvation. Chaste conduct's not important as holiness. Holiness is not important as this. Hey, listen, folks. God doesn't want us to pick and choose. God said it's the entire body. Because some here tonight would say in the body, the eye is more important than the thumb. I don't know if you asked the thumb. Hey, that's the point that Paul was making. He says you cannot look at the whole body and deem one more important or less important than the other, because it's all one together. You see, God gave us the whole body of doctrine as it pleased Him, the Scripture says. Now, you got something to jot some things down, and I'll be done. Give me 9 minutes. Okay, just write them down. I'm not going to elaborate on these a whole lot. You say, why doctrine, preacher? What are the reasons for sound doctrine? Here we go. Number one, it builds discernment. Sound doctrine builds discernment. It gives you the ability to perceive the distinctions of something. In other words, to be able to tell the difference between something. By the way, the Scripture talks about in Proverbs 3 and verse 21 about the importance of discernment. How did Jesus tell that you could discern truth from error? How did He say it? By their fruits ye shall. Yeah. Because you know what people do? People speak what they believe. He said all you got to do. And by the way, people act according to what they believe. Because, again, remember, eventually your Christianity, the Scripture talks about we're to work out our salvation. And you know what comes with that? What comes with it shows how we live in our life. It shows about what level of doctrine we're at and what we're holding on to, because we've deemed it high, medium, and low priority. So, listen, sound doctrine, it builds discernment. Here's the second thing. Number two, it reveals the will of God. I want you to look at this one for a second. Turn to John 7. Real quick, John 7 and verse 17. John 7 and verse number 17. John 7 and verse 17. Look at verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. That pretty much narrows it down right there, right? He said, there's nothing I said here of me. He said, it's all of God. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So, look at the Scripture there. What Jesus is saying, He says, doctrine reveals the will of God. You will be able to know what is truth and what is error by simply reading and studying the words of Almighty God. So, sound doctrine builds discernment. It reveals the will of God. Here's number three. It prepares for God's work. It prepares for God's work. Don't turn there. I'll just read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Listen to what it says. Once again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, here it is now. That the man of God or the woman of God or the teenager of God or the kid of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. You see what sound doctrine does? It prepares you for the work of God, to make you ready beforehand for the purpose that God has set before you. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. I couldn't do what I'm doing today. I couldn't be up here doing and preaching what I'm preaching today if I didn't believe it. And I didn't believe this because I'm not going to stand and preach something I don't believe. The reason I can stand and say this is because I believe it. I'm totally persuaded. Why? Because it's doctrine. And it prepares for God's work. Here's the fourth thing. It prevents false teaching. Sound doctrine prevents false teaching. Now listen, if I got up here tonight, 90% of you could probably, if I got up here and started preaching heresy, 90% of you say, that preacher's nuts. That's not Bible. We're going to get him after church. Now, that's why I'm going to have somebody come up and pray. Now, folks, listen. If this preacher ever stood up in this pulpit and preached heresy, you ought to stand up in the middle of the service and come tote me out. Yeah. Say, we'll be seeing you later, man. They don't believe that around here. You say, well, how are we going to know if you're preaching heresy? Doctrine. Doctrine. Well, hey, listen, folks. That's the reason that when they came to Jesus and they tried to trip him up all the time, you know what they were attacking, Miss Martha? They were attacking his doctrine. But they never could overthrow him on his doctrine because it was of God. Now listen, if you come up with some harebrained idea, then you're probably going to get tripped up then. But it prevents false teaching. Here's number five. Jot it down real quick. It establishes lasting faith. It establishes lasting faith. Let me read you another passage here from 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The scripture says, and that from a child thou hast known, Paul said to Timothy, the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It establishes lasting faith. You know what? That's the reason I hold my Bible today. You say, preacher, would you die for that book? Look at me, in a heartbeat. Yeah, because it's doctrine. Listen, we have in our hand today the Word of God for us in the English language. Hey, it establishes lasting faith. It helps us to be consistent and confident in our direction in life because we know what we believe. Number six, doctrine helps you acquire knowledge. It helps you to acquire knowledge. I want you to listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 2 and verse 6 real quick. Proverbs 2 verse 6, this is what he says. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Where did we get the word? We got it straight from the mouth of God. You see, doctrine helps us acquire knowledge. Listen, no application without acquisition. You will not be able to apply doctrine until you acquire doctrine, until you know what you believe. You cannot apply what you do not know. All right? And then here's number seven, and I'm done. It saves people from destruction. Sound doctrine saves people from messing their lives up and going into something that will destroy their lives. Let me look at one other passage with you. Turn, if you would, James chapter 5. We'll look at this last passage here. James 5 and verse 19. James 5 and verse number 19. Brethren, James says, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. In other words, you get some guy that's got some harebrained idea and he gets off here on the left somewhere and he starts saying, well, you can't include separation and consecration and chastity. You can't include. That's not doctrine. Those are preferences. People have their choice in that. Not according to the Bible, they don't. Sure don't. Now, what I'm saying to you, listen to me, church. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, listen now, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know what sound doctrine does? Sound doctrine helps you go rescue people. Hey, listen, sound doctrine convicts those that contradict it. That's the reason, folks, that here at Trinity Baptist Church, we must not err from the truth. We have a Bible filled with doctrine. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7, he taught on every possible aspect you could almost come in contact with and be faced with. He either taught it by example, direct statement, or by illustration. But when it was all said and done, the scripture says they were astonished at his doctrine, his whole body of belief. Hey, in our statement of faith, our articles of faith, when you look down there and it says what we believe about salvation, what we believe about the triune God, the church, the Lord's Supper, and baptism, and sin, and Satan, and heaven, and hell, and you get on and you say, no, preacher, that's doctrine. No, folks, that's a part of our doctrine. Here's what you're saying. If you hold and cling to that ideology, what you're saying is that separation and chastity and holiness and consecration are low priority on God's list, and they're not. They're all high priority. So we must keep in mind that our whole body of doctrine is one. And we cannot look and pick and choose what's high, medium, or low. It's not a buffet, but what it is, it's the whole counsel of God. And I have an obligation as a preacher to preach the whole counsel of God. You go read the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus, you know what you'll find out? That doctrine is Christ. Would you bow your heads for a few moments? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a born-again believer? I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. If I died tonight, preacher, I have been gloriously born into the family of God. No question. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Nobody looking around, just the preacher. There were some that could not raise their hand, and maybe